Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back to Register Radio. I'm Matthew Bunsen, senior editor for the National Catholic Register and senior contributor for EWTN. This was a pretty grueling and even ugly presidential election with two generally unpopular candidates in an era of bitter political division. In the end, of course, Donald Trump won the White House, but throughout the campaign, Catholics were reminded by my next guest about the importance of remaining faithful to the Church and who we are called by Christ to be, especially in the midst of an angry and often depressing election cycle. Monsignor Charles Pope is one of the Register's most popular bloggers, and he's going to join me now to talk about the fact that, as his most recent column said, the election is over, but there's much work to be done. Monsignor, welcome back to Register Radio.
Good, thanks for having me.
Well, I want to read something very briefly from your recent post. You said, the recent election brings important openings and opportunities to the Church in terms of announcing the gospel, but there also remain significant and serious problems to be sober about. Our culture's steady march away from biblical teaching and into moral darkness has been going on for many decades now, and this is not going to be stopped by one election cycle. Pretty strong stuff, but stuff I think we need to hear.
Yeah, and I think we have to really step back and think a lot about how long these problems have been going on. To me, maybe I'm showing my age a little bit, but I trace the origins of the Cultural Revolution to the late 60s. But it was brewing all the way after the Second World War, all the way through the 50s. And they started cooking with gas in the mid-60s. And by 68 and 69, I think the lid had really come off. And, for us to think that the steady march into moral darkness is just going to be turned around is, it's myopic at best. And it's just outright deception at worst.
Yeah, and there seems to be sort of a split, unsurprisingly. Half the country is pretty depressed, if not enraged, by the election of Donald Trump. Parts of the other side are relieved that hopefully the cause for life will be able to advance. But there's also a certain post-election depression, isn't there? I'm picking it up even among people who voted for Mr. Trump.
Yeah, I think the intensity of the battle leads to a kind of a sleepiness now. And thank God that's over. But then when the adrenaline goes away, even for those who support, the results, all of a sudden, well, now what? And all of a sudden reality sets in and people kind of get nervous again. And I think it's pretty clear that Mr. Trump, although I think we have sort of dodged a bullet regarding the Supreme Court, at least if he's, faithful to his promises, and that remains to be seen, but we dodged that bullet, but he's not with us on a lot of other issues. And if you want, we can discuss those. But there are going to be battles going forward. It really, in our mandate remains the same: be Catholic, live Catholic, and consistently preach Catholic doctrines and as well as values.
Yeah, it's not really enough just to be satisfied as a Catholic voter, for example, that the Supreme Court may have a replacement for Antonin Scalia, who will probably be pro-life. There's so much more to do.
Yeah, and I think that's what remains for us. And the old saying, which I think has been picked up a lot recently, and it's good that it has: put not your trust in princes and mortal men in whom there is no help. Princes come and go, but the King of the Universe, he's the one who needs our attention, and we got to enact his agenda. His name is Jesus.
And you note, too, that in your piece that we are still facing a kind of cultural abyss. We've got sexual confusion, as you've written. We have secularism and atheism. And to someone who says, well, wait a minute, why don't we take a second to celebrate? I'm reminded of John Paul II, who, after the fall of the Soviet Union, warned everyone of the fact that nature abhors a vacuum and that secularism and atheism and materialism could simply fill that void. And, of course, that's exactly what happened in Europe. So I think your very prophetic message is one that people need to be listening to.
Yeah, and whatever your political views on the election would be, all right, take a minute, but just a minute. Celebrate. we have an immense amount of work to do. And, just to maybe, again, put it in political terms, I mean, how many times have we seen since the late 60s, things shift from Democratic control to Republican and back, and then back and forth, and a Democrat president, a Republican, but yet the steady downward decline of our culture continues apace. So it's not that's not the solution. It gives leave a little more breathing room, because sadly the Supreme Court's become kind of the final speed bump. I think that's unhealthy. Mm-hmm. You know, it should not be that 9 unelected officials decide most of the critical issues in our country today, but that's right now what we're dealing with, and I can't change that, but I can say that we that's unhealthy. And the real legislation and real, you know, things like this should come from the legislature, not from the court, but here we are. So, yes, we've been given that reprieve, but within that, the Lord wants us to get to work. We've got hearts and minds to win, and it'll help to have perhaps the force of law behind a few things, especially regarding abortion. But Mr. Trump, for example, has already signaled he has no problem at all with the so-called gay marriage decision of the Supreme Court. So, again, he himself is a complex sort of sui generis figure. He doesn't fit into any little box, including mm-hmm. ours, and we shouldn't fit in anybody's little box. We're supposed to be Catholic, and that's going to involve a lot of, you know, a lot of things for us to continue to preach about.
Yeah, well, you're listening to Register Radio here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Matthew Bunsen, talking with Monsignor Charles Pope, who has a lot to say after the election, and it's worth hearing. Well, Monsignor, one of the things about this election, too, is that it exposed, thanks in part, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to describe it, to WikiLeaks, a very surprising level of anti-Catholicism, or perhaps some wouldn't consider it too surprising, in the Clinton campaign. But it extends much deeper than that, doesn't it, in culture?
Yeah, I think there's... wasn't it shocking, you know, to hear, you know, all these things that go back and forth? I mean, even as a priest, I've always had a reticence about putting too many things in writing, especially confidential things. I'll often say, would you call me, we can talk about this, or come on in. I'm amazed at how honest people put things in. I'm going to just say the internet has permanent recall. you post something, you can delete all you want, but there's a record of it somewhere out there. But anyway, that's just an odd thing. But I think at the end of the day, we see that there are very, well, the church is the target. Isn't it amazing? And I take it as a compliment that John Podesta's emails and so on have indicated that they've pretty much targeted the church for destruction. They want to get inside, infiltrate, and sow dissension. And we need to be sober about that. But in a way, let's take it as a compliment. I don't think, and I don't mean any personal attack by this, but they're not targeting the Methodist Church. They're not targeting, you know, they're targeting us because they see in us. And I think that goes finally to the devil himself, who has a special hatred for the Catholic Church. For reasons that I believe by faith are because we are the body of Christ and the true church established by him.
Well, I was also struck as a result of the WikiLeaks revelations, how many of those who were plotting and scheming are themselves Catholics.
Yeah, isn't that? And that's the greatest tragedy of all, that we as a church are so divided. I don't have time to tell you the long story, but I was confronted by a politician once when I went to speak to him. I was asked to go and speak about some legislation that was pending, and he said, go back and tell your bishop. I'm really more their bishop than he is, because I've read the polls, and they agree with me on this topic. You go tell your bishop that. Say he's got a lot of work to do inside his own church, and he was right. Mm-hmm. And we as pastors, I don't blame just the bishops, but we as pastors and others have got to become more articulate and teach on these issues that are the most critical. And it's going to be a long battle, but as I say, it's a very great tragedy that many, many, many Catholics, even those who go to church, are not on board mm-hmm. with our views and the biblical views, and I would say God's views on these moral issues.
Well, and as a very keen observer of the church today, the bishops recently completed their meeting in Baltimore. Do you have the sense that they're aware of these complexities?
Well... Of course, I'm in the chain of command, so let me answer very carefully.
Yes, understood.
I would say, generally, as a general rule, I'm concerned they're not. I think, unfortunately, when you have a big organization, you know, it takes a long time to turn an aircraft carrier around. Mm-hmm. And there's a big bureaucracy, and it's a kind of a problem. We all admit it, and I don't think there's a single bishop or priest that wouldn't admit we don't have this problem, that it's business as usual. You know, the whole world's melting down, but we just know business as usual, and we're still pushing papers and talking this and that, and again, at some point, gosh, we've just got to do things differently, because what we've been doing is seeing a steady erosion. So I wish I could say, oh yeah, they're really on board, they really get it. Collectively, no, but there are very good individual exceptions, and among both bishops and priests. I never like to critique bishops without announcing that I do not run a perfect parish, and I don't have all the right priorities sometimes.
And I'm sure your parishioners would be more than happy to fill in the details, right?
Amen.
Well, the bishops, though, do seem still very keenly aware of the issues of religious liberty, and you talk about that in your column.
Yes, I think so, and some people say, well, that's kind of, why not abortion? And, well, because that includes abortion. I mean, I think what we're saying here is that really at the key of this is religious liberty, because increasingly this juggernaut of the cultural decline has brought with it mandates now. You not only ought to agree with us, but if you don't, we will start punishing you. We're going to cram this down your throat, and if you don't smile while we do it, we're going to charge you with a hate crime.
Mm-hmm.
So again, whatever the moral issues, this seems to now become the linchpin that we've got to keep insisting on religious liberty and our capacity to speak to these issues with kind of conscientious objection, which our culture has traditionally honored, but which is beginning to go away.
Mm-hmm. And in the brief time that we have left, you stress living Catholic. What would be three things that you'd recommend to any listener out there, any reader of the Register, to be doing right now to live Catholic in the face of this new political reality?
Yeah. Well, first of all, obviously pray. I found the Divine Mercy Chaplet very consoling. We've got to pray. Secondly, study the Catechism, please. And even if you are on board with the Catholic teaching, find out more about why we teach what we teach, because when you're confronted, you'll have answers. But if you're struggling with the topic, please ask. Don't just write it off. Go to the Catechism. Ask a priest or sit down and talk through the difficulties. And the third thing I would say is, again, be willing to engage people. We're too many Catholics just hide out. I don't want to say anything because I might get asked questions and I can't answer. It's mm-hmm. always okay to say, I don't know. Let me get back to you on that.
Yeah. Well, those are three very helpful topics for all of us to pursue, and we're going to have to leave it there. But, Monsignor, I'm very grateful that you could make the gift of your time, as always.
Thank you. Good to be on.
Well, and thank you for joining me on Register Radio here on EWTN. For much more news, analysis, and commentary on the church and major events of the day, remember to go to ncregister.com. For my producer, Jeff Burson, I am Matthew Bunsen, filling in for Jeanette DeMello. Until next week, please take care and God bless.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.